So I ask God to bless the reading and preaching of his word this evening. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the Bible is indeed your word, your inerrant, infallible word, and it is the instrument by which your spirit works in our hearts, guides our lives. And we ask that you would work mightily among us tonight, give us ears to hear, and wills that are soft and eager to both understand and then heed your will for us. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. This is one of a collection of 15 psalms that are titled Songs of Ascent. And they're grouped together, beginning at Psalm 120, going on through Psalm 134. Some are linked to David, others are not. But all of them were likely sung or chanted by Hebrew pilgrims as they journeyed up to Jerusalem for the yearly festivals. Perhaps Psalm 121 is the most familiar of the group. I'll be reading the entire psalm. It'll be our text this evening. Hear God's word. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. As far as the redeemed God's word, but I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this text during the message tonight. Beloved congregation of Jesus Christ, I'm sure some of you remember the TV show Candid Camera. And in that program, there would be hidden cameras catching the reactions of people in unusual situations. Well, it's 2017. And whether we realize it or not, or like it or not, if you're out and about, it's pretty much certain you're being watched. There are cameras at intersections, ATMs, and bridges. In fact, there are cameras at all the bridges across the Nooksack River up our way. There are cameras in parking lots, border crossings, airports, retail shops, stores, businesses like gas stations. There are traffic cams, surveillance and security cams, cameras on police cars. When our family lived back in New Jersey, the people were complaining that New York City had mounted cameras on street sweepers. Those cameras would record parking violations. And once the violation was seen, the cars, the owners, were ticketed automatically by computer. For better or for worse, Big Brother is closely monitoring us. Well, here in Psalm 121, we're being reminded that there is, in fact, another set of eyes on each and every believer, on each and every pilgrim making their way, journeying their way through life toward the heavenly Jerusalem. In fact, five different times we come across the name of this watcher, Yahweh. And five different times we find the Hebrew word for watching or keeping, a word being used to describe his activity concerning his people. The Lord God is ever watching, ever keeping us. Well, as you look at this psalm, you'll notice that it is comprised of two voices that together testify to Yahweh's sovereign, loving, and watchful care. And those two voices will be t- the message, the 2 points of tonight's message. And so that first voice that we hear is in fact an apprehensive or an anxious voice. Verse 1. The psalmist writes, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. So here we have a simple question about help and about a helper. And yet there's so much behind this question and what might have sparked it. The first thing to take notice of is that this first voice is in the first person, speaking with I and my. Then the second voice a little bit later on, beginning in verse 3, is a voice of reply, a response to this question. And so these two voices seemingly originate near each other. It's as though they're walking next to each other. Of course, it's also possible that these two voices are the inner voices of a single individual, someone whose thoughts are going back and forth during a stressful or fearful time. But since the psalm is a psalm of ascents, it's a pilgrim psalm, the picture here is more likely that of Hebrew families and friends and neighbors making the long journey from home to Jerusalem. A journey that, for some, stretched literally hundreds of miles. Miles that would have to be trekked through desolate deserts and uninhabited wilderness. And here's a pilgrim, seemingly looking up at some distant mountains, beyond which lies his destination, Jerusalem, the holy city, with its magnificent temple and a host of fellow believers, all worshiping the Lord together. And that holy city, that's his destination. That's his objective. And yet between himself and the holy city of Zion stretches this long and difficult road. And so this question here in the very first verse, this concern, is that of a young and inexperienced traveler. Perhaps he's heard the stories of long days and of hot and weary travel, something suggested in verse 6. Maybe he's heard tales of wild animals stalking and stealing into the camp at night. Again, something perhaps hinted at in verse 6. And then there would be stories of travelers lost to landslides and missteps on narrow paths, verse 3. And of murderous and marauding bandits ambushing pilgrims high up in those rocky hills and mountains. Even in Jesus' day, under strong Roman rule, folks were robbed and outright murdered while traveling Palestine's roads and paths. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, it's difficult for us to relate to all of that when all we need to do is pile into a comfortable car and drive on safe roads, or hop a flight for several hours and arrive at some distant and exotic place. But it was so different for these ancient pilgrims. Their route, their journey was often difficult. It was often dangerous and taxing. And sure, there were good times along the way. But hardships and troubles too. Weariness and the unknown. And so much like the wilderness wanderings, these journeys, these pilgrimages came to symbolize the believer's pilgrimage through life as we journey toward glory and toward the heavenly Jerusalem. For our lives are also marked by joys and troubles, marked by times of wonder and of weariness, of delight and of pain. While this young pilgrim looks off into the distance and he wonders. He wonders and he asks, from where does my help come? It's a good question. It's a wise question. He knows he needs help. He knows he needs a mighty ally. Maybe his voice here is even trembling a bit, with a touch of fear, or a lot of fear, or doubt, or just with questions and concerns. You ever find yourself with that question on your mind, or even coming from your lips? And especially during life's troubles, during life's griefs and losses, its pains, its uncertainties, its changes. Times when you find yourself asking, from where does my help come? Who's going to help me? Who can help me? Think about starting a brand new career in a new place. Everyone around you is a stranger to you. Or think about having to retire, the unknowns of that, or of losing a loved one, or a health or family crisis. Think about having to downsize from a house that's been your home for decades. Or children and young people, think about having to go to a new school, or moving away for college. Or how about it, parents, having to adjust to the blues and quietness of an empty nest? Or the slow but steady loss of independence due to age or disability? You see, any one of those or all of those can grow into hills and mountains that rise before our eyes as we journey on through life. And so you don't need to be new to the faith to have this question come to your mind, to find yourself wondering about the source and the sufficiency of help. But notice that this fearful pilgrim gives a quick reply to his own question. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. What a beautiful profession of faith. And here we find the pilgrim using God's covenant name. And he adds to it a title. The Lord, Yahweh, maker of heaven and earth. This precise language is used in four other psalms by God's people as a profession of faith and of identity. And of course, it's a phrase that should be familiar to each and every one of us, to all the worshipers in our Reformed tradition, since we use it at the beginning of many of our worship services. It's our invocation. It's our votum. Just before the Lord's greeting, URC pastors and those of a few other continental Reformed denominations say, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. You see, this statement identifies our God and our identity with Him and in Him, and why it is we've gathered to worship. And perhaps this particular pilgrim had heard this phrase many times in worship as well. And so here it comes to his mind, and it comes out of his mouth in this time of anxiousness and fear. And boys and girls, young people, young adults, in this we have this call to memorize as much scripture as we are able. You see, it's a treasury of stored wealth. It's a reservoir of blessing from which to draw upon in times of trouble and crisis. Be sure your well is deep. And parents, help them in this. Encourage them. Even require scriptural memorization from them. It's a blessing from God. to give to your children? Well, these beautiful words are seemingly spoken, again, by an apprehensive voice. This novice pilgrim is finding strength in the fact that his God is Creator God, that He is this person's Maker. And being the Almighty Creator, then, all of the world's troubles and terrors are minor. They're minuscule. They're tiny and insignificant before Him. In other words, if this Almighty God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 31. Lord God is our Almighty and Sovereign Helper. Remember that. Remember that, especially when you hear your voice shaking and anxious, filled with emotion. Remember that. But remember more than that. For this God, our God, is more to us than our Maker. And this brings us then from the first voice that's apprehensive or anxious to the second voice. A voice that is steady and reassuring. Psalm 121, beginning in verse 3. The reply, this steady, reassuring voice says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So here we have the voice of an old pro. When it comes to pilgrimages. Apparently, he's journeyed this route to Jerusalem many times. He's speaking from experience. Spiritually speaking, he's an old timer. He's walked with the Lord for many years. And here, apparently, he's come alongside this pilgrim who's just starting out. He's a mentor of sorts, if only for a few moments. During this young traveler's journey. Again, boys and girls, young people, young adults, do you have someone that you can call alongside of you when you have spiritual questions or are struggling with some problem, with some sin, with doubts or fears or uncertainty or depression? Are you comfortable enough to open up to your parents? Dads and moms, are you ready and willing to walk with your children when they are going through rough times? Can they talk to you? Can you talk to them? You see, young Christians especially need someone or several someones who are mature in the faith and a ready resource for wisdom and knowledge, experience and encouragement. So young people, godly grandparents or teachers or pastors, council members should be added to your list of companions. You really do need such company as you journey through life. Well, this veteran pilgrim picks up his companion's profession of faith and expands upon it. He says to him, yes, our helper is the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. And therefore, he's a helper who's ever watching and keeping. He's a helper who constantly protects us, provides for us, and cares for us. Notice first here that as this voice speaks, he's communicating that our Lord God and his help is personal. It's intimate. It's individually tailored. Verse 3, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Picture here rocky paths, steep slopes, narrow passes, places used by bandits and snakes and scorpions. But through all of these, The Lord was watching, directing, and protecting His people and His people individually. So our every footfall, our every step, our every path through life is under His loving and watchful care. Stop and think a moment tonight. All of the places that your feet have carried you since your first wobbly baby steps. Think about where those feet have brought you. Those slippery and dangerous places they have walked or stumbled. Remember, we use our feet to drive, to pedal, to skate, to ski, to hike, to run, to climb, to jump. And the psalmist here is reminding us that our divine watcher has seen our every movement. And He's providentially permitted every step. And this includes even the steps that you've made in the wrong direction when your feet were in places forbidden by God. Yet even in those dark and dangerous places, the Lord was present with you, present in mercy and in His watchful care. Trace the route your feet have taken and be sure to thank your keeper for His gracious love and attentiveness to you. Well, this steady and reassuring voice has more to say about this watcher. Again, picking up at verse 3. He says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So here the second voice reminds us that not only is the Lord near, nearer even than your own shadow, but that He's always alert. He's always attentive. Doesn't matter whether it's night or whether it's day. He's watching every second of every hour. And He reminds us that our God doesn't fatigue. He doesn't take breaks. He doesn't get sleepy. He doesn't punch in and punch out. No, He provides shade, protection. Whether it's the heat of a sizzling day or protecting us as a shield during the dark of night. And perhaps this experienced pilgrim at this point is thinking of the pillar of cloud and fire that led Israel through the wilderness. Presence of God. His presence guiding and protecting Israel, going ahead and behind them. And here we find the psalmist using the sun and moon, at the very least, to represent the greatest threats to us, whether they come by day or whether they come during the night. And whatever they might be, we can and must know that our watcher, our keeper, is more than able to shield and protect us, to keep us from all lasting, from all everlasting harm. Verses 5 and 6, he continues on, focusing in here on some beautiful imagery. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And then the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. If you think back to the kind of environment in which these pilgrims lived, there was perhaps no better way of describing the Lord's protection than as shade. The sun was at times dangerous. It would sap the life out of you and take away strength from man and beast alike. Heat exhaustion, heat stroke were very real threats. For example, think of Jonah and how he had this sun beating down on him outside of Nineveh. And so for desert travelers, there was no better way of portraying the Lord's watchful care than this word shade. And as for needing protection at night, the mention of the moon here is perhaps connected with the fact that many ancient cultures believed that moonbeams could cause madness. Even our English words, lunacy and lunatic, are derived from the Latin word for moon. But whether or not that connection is there, it certainly is speaking to and symbolizing the dangers that come by way of darkness and night. And of course, there were and are very many of these, whether it was bandits or the cold, nocturnal predators, accidents, and then also the dragons that frequently infest our thoughts and our dreams, robbing us of sleep, robbing us of our peace. You ever have these kind of dragon encounters? Now, the Lord isn't, of course, promising here a trouble-free life. He's not promising us a life free of difficulty and pain. But He is promising here, through this second voice, that we will have the resources and that we will have the spiritual weaponry to persevere, to endure, to overcome by His strength, by His Spirit. And so through His power, we're able to resist roaring lions. By His Word and by His Spirit, we can say, "Away you go, dragon." God is promising His presence and peace and that He'll work out all things to our good. He's promising that no real and lasting harm will come to His people. Verses 7 and 8, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." Here at the end of the psalm, this second voice, this steady and reassuring voice, is taking on a priestly tone. His words here carry the savor of the Aaronic blessing, that blessing that's found in number 6. Those words, "The Lord bless you and keep you with watchful care. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace." Verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." So you see here that the Lord's watching, His keeping, His caring is without limitation. It's truly cradle-to-grave coverage. And it not only covers our daily routines and activities, but it encompasses every moment between our earthly arrival and our earthly departure, from conception to final breath. Our watcher will accompany His people from their very first footfall to the very last there at the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem. And of course, beyond, as we enter and walk with Him into eternity, into our everlasting inheritance. And this last verse, verse 8, also sounds similar to our great high priest's benediction upon His apostles, where the risen Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28. "I'm with you always, even unto the end," the very end of the age. And so you see, ultimately, this second voice, this steady and reassuring voice, is the voice of our risen and victorious Lord Jesus. It's the voice of our elder brother. It's the voice of our almighty brother, fellow pilgrim, trailblazer, Savior, and Lord. Jesus has opened that path to glory, the path to the celestial city. He has led the way. He has made the way safe. And He walks beside His people. He walks beside you and me all the way. You know, each year millions of Pacific salmon begin a long journey. Their distant destination is the freshwater spawning ground where they were born, in rivers just like the Skagit or the Nooksack. And they have many obstacles and dangers to overcome to make it back. Out in the ocean, it's sharks and seals and orca, commercial and sport fishermen. And then in the rivers, it's more fishermen and nets. It's bears and eagles. It's powerful currents and waterfalls. In fact, the percentage of salmon that make it all the way back to spawn is often tiny, sometimes as little as 1%. How different it is for God's chosen people who are journeying on to their destination, to the heavenly Jerusalem. Though we also face many obstacles and dangers, yet every single last one of us who has genuine faith in Jesus will reach that destination. Reach it safely. Not a single one will be lost along the way. And that's because our helper is the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, the Lord who will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we so much need your help. We are dependent upon you, your watchful care, as we journey through life. And so we ask that you would walk beside us, that you would guide and direct us, that you'd make our path straight and our footing sure. Keep us from wandering off the pathway. Help us to take advantage of the resources that you've provided your people for our journey, this pilgrimage to glory. Bless us day by day. May we walk in your strength and by your light as we follow the footsteps of our Savior, Jesus Christ, this one who has made the path, the way, safe and secure. We thank you so much for him, and we pray in his beautiful and blessed name. Amen.